I think you're absolutely right. This has been a problem in our country. I would trace it back to the 1996 laws, where we saw legislation that was extremely harmful to immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers. There were a lot of restrictions placed in that law that has, I would argue, contributed to the issues and problems we're facing today. And what we're facing today is an accelerated enforcement, dismantling of the refugee and asylum system, and families being torn apart. It's not only a legal issue, but it's a political issue. And I think to answer your question, we have a ways to go to shift the narrative to really moving towards a resolution.
Will the midterms really accomplish anything in that regard, or where is the way forward to finally getting this dealt with?
I think the midterms could be helpful in the sense that we will have a little bit more transparency and accountability in the system, and we will see, hopefully, how we need to shift this enforcement apparatus and detention apparatus that has caused such harm to so many people.
There were signs once upon a time that groups like the Illinois Business Immigration Council could come a little ways toward finding a middle ground. They have gone a little more silent since the Trump administration. Is there ever going to be a resurgence of that center of the debate, or are we stuck on the wings?
I think we have to see a resurgence. I mean, this is going to have serious economic implications to our country, to our state. You talk about hundreds of thousands of immigrants who are going to be losing their legal status based on the decisions of this administration to terminate deferred action for childhood arrivals, temporary protected status for individuals who've lived here for 20 years plus. Once those enforcement operations begin to have an impact on those individuals who will be losing their status, we will see, I think, an uprising from the business community.
So you think they're eager to do this?
I think the business community is going to be appalled at what's happening and how they will be losing their critical workforce. We have the lowest unemployment in the country right now, and we need workers.
Are they not hearing this now? Are they not hearing about families being torn apart? Are they not hearing about the tendency to emigrate, not immigrate, created by the current political climate?
I think they are hearing it. I don't think they're feeling it yet. And I think once they start feeling it in their pocketbooks, then we're going to see more action. Right now, there's a whole political debate going on that is, I would argue, feeding a base to, you know, really demonize and dehumanize immigrants. And we need to shift that narrative. And I would like to think it'll happen through a humanitarian moral issue, but it may end up being economic.
Well, when does that economic incentive kick in? Aren't the Southern Illinois peach growers, aren't the mushroom producers in Bureau County, aren't the asparagus producers around the state and the other vegetable crop farmers around the state, aren't they already short?
I imagine there is a shortage, but I think next year is when we're going to see the end of the temporary protected status for individuals. And I think that's a million people. Between DACA and temporary protected status, that's a lot of people that are going to be impacted. And I think that's when we're going to really see the outcry by employers.
Are there historical parallels that are useful? I mean, the history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes, Mark Twain famously said. But from the Irish immigrant labor to the Chinese immigrant labor in the West to other kinds of immigrant groups that have provided itinerant labor over the decades and centuries. Is there anything useful about how we come out of this moment?
I would say the historical parallel is slavery.
Wow. And
that's where we need to see a shift in the laws. We have laws that are very harmful to individuals and exploit and dehumanize them. And I think we had a long battle over slavery, and we're going to have a long battle over the immigration issue. But that's where we need to move. I don't think it's based on one group necessarily right now. It's not the Mexicans or the Central Americans, but it's anyone who's a person of color who speaks a different language, who is being exploited right now and is facing deportation and fear of being permanently separated from their families. And we saw that it's time of slavery.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Mary Meg McCarthy, the Executive Director of Heartland Alliance's National Immigrant Justice Center, one of the nation's leading immigrant and human rights advocacy organizations. She's the keynote speaker of a luncheon today at Illinois State University for the Immigration Project. What are some of the human stories that you're hearing that perhaps are undertold right now?
You know, immigration law is very nuanced, and I think the stories that we are hearing today are stories of a bureaucracy that is creating havoc for individuals in their lives, as well as for the immigration lawyers. The Immigration Project is handling many hundreds of cases that at one time were pretty straightforward. There's nothing straightforward right now in attempting to get person legal status. And it's unclear whether that's intentional or if it's just the bureaucracy. But we are all seeing in the immigration field cases that were very straightforward coming back to us, asking for additional evidence, or simply being denied. And this administration is now saying if your application is denied, we're going to have a right to put you in deportation proceedings, which is then another layer to individuals' lives and possibly facing deportation. I know that women and children are facing real hurdles to securing protection right now. We're seeing the separation of families. We're seeing that not just at the border, but in the state of Illinois. And the Immigration Project was successful in a recent case where a child was separated from his mother, and they reunited that child with the mother, and they're representing both of them and seeking asylum.
How difficult was that reuniting?
I think it was extremely difficult. And part of that difficulty was not only the legal issues and fighting to get that child released from detention to be reunited with his mother, but also the language barrier. This child was from an indigenous community in Guatemala, as is the mother, and you had to have not only a translator from Spanish, but to that indigenous language. In addition, this administration is now requiring fingerprints, not only for the individual who's going to be the caretaker, in this case, the mother, but for everyone in the household. What does that mean? That places that whole family or all those individuals living in that household at risk of being arrested, detained, and deported. What we're seeing as a result is that many families are not willing to come forward for their children, or if they do, they live in fear. And again, the Immigration Project successfully navigated that for this family and now has this family reunited.
Perhaps the perception is that a lot of this is Chicago and perhaps southern Illinois, but central Illinois in these counties, not so much, although the mere fact that we have an Immigration Project office here and in Champaign and in Peoria would tend to give that the lie. Can you share any stories from this region of the state that ought to open the eyes of our listeners?
I don't have any specific stories, but what I do know is that We are a country that has welcomed immigrants, and we are communities that have welcomed immigrants. And we may not even be aware that the child sitting in the classroom with your child comes from an immigrant family, an undocumented immigrant family. So I think right now, when you talk about 11 million undocumented people in this country, those individuals have been here for years. I think the statistics are 65% have been here for more than a decade. They're integrated into our communities, and we just may not be aware of their legal status.
With the increased bureaucratic hurdles, with the unclarity in policy and the new procedures and new barriers, how is this affecting your ability atop this network of more than 1,500 pro bono lawyers to keep that network together? They're already facing a lot of caseload for free work.
It's an excellent question, and I think that is one of the challenges we are all facing in this country right now, is how to stay abreast of this ever-changing environment. Daily, something happens. Even on the weekends, when you think, okay, we can take a deep breath, some executive order will be issued or some leak will come out. And I think, you know, that takes its toll. But at the same time, it's just so critical to stay abreast of these changes, whether it's a court order or it's an executive order or it's just an administrative decision to revamp how things are going to be handled, like the example of, you know, taking fingerprints of everyone in the household. We need to digest these new policies, analyze them, and then identify how that impacts our clients and what steps do we need to take to educate the legal community, but also the immigrant community. The last thing you want is for someone to think, oh, I can apply for DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, because the court said it was illegal to terminate it. Well, you can apply because that's on appeal right now. But if someone just heard that it's been blocked, the termination, they may end up filing, and now they're at risk of deportation. So it's really important for all of us to stay abreast of what's happening and to have accurate information. And I think that's what the Immigration Project has done beautifully, is really be in the community to provide Know Your Rights, to let people know what are the facts and what are the legal options.
Mary Meg McCarthy is the Executive Director of Heartland Alliance's National Immigration Justice Center. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.